Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Studio Door. I'm your host, Molly Darling, along with my partner and co-host, Christian Rivera.
Crikey, I just came in from exploring, and I'm here to explore on this podcast. I'm not really great at accents. I will lose it.
That was pretty dynamic. I liked it.
Thank you. Just trying to give people some entertainment, you know?
Entertainment. That's what it's all about. And speaking of entertainment, we got our producer, Chris Lindstrom, over here to my left.
What are podcasts but speaking words into microphones?
What are they?
Wow. All right.
What that?
Let's write a 6th novel story about that.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
Yeah. Let's
yes.
Do it.
And speaking of speaking into microphones, I'm speaking into this microphone right now and letting you all know that
you've been watching too much Severance.
I have been. I have been. We'll get to that later, though.
Yep.
We are talking to the guys from Explore Rochester today. Explore Rochester was founded in 2015 by Steve Carter and Justin Doucette, and it showcases the diverse perspectives of Rochester's community by featuring weekly takeovers on their Instagram account. And in celebration of their 10th anniversary, the Rochester Contemporary Art Center is hosting an exhibition titled Explore Rochester at 10, A Decade of People and Places, and it's running from March 7th to May 10th in the year of our Lord, 2025. Thank you for being here, Justin and Steve.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the party. How does it feel? How's life? How are you guys feeling today?
Great. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I feel like I've finally started to catch up on sleep, I think.
Yeah.
We definitely putting this together, the exhibition, definitely limited my sleep intake, I guess. Is that the right way?
Sleep intake.
Yeah, sleep intake. Yeah.
That's it.
The sleep, it just goes straight into your veins.
Yeah. I try to like supplement sleep, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's little capsules. I've been trying those. Yeah.
Pure sleep.
Yep. Pure 10 sleep. Milligrams.
You got to be careful extract. Of those YouTubers that are trying to sell you sleep supplements like straight into your veins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I'm good. Bro, you got to get some of that sleep.
Brian Johnson.
but I'm excited you guys are here because I've lived in Rochester for close to 8 years now, and I feel like I have not really explored the way that I would like to. I wouldn't even be able to define the way that I would like to, but like, I'm just kind of living life, you know, trying to, we went through the pandemic here. We go to First Fridays. Mm. We do a lot of usualness. And so I'm curious about like the general impetus of Explore Rochester and like what the motivation and especially after all this time, like what keeps you going?
I'd be careful to call going to First Fridays and doing stuff like that usualness. I think you'd be surprised at how many people that would be a shock to, or they wouldn't know that things like that are going on.
Right.
Sure.
Sorry, I stopped listening when I realized what I wanted to say.
That's great.
No. I was listening.
It's
so
funny
I can
because
keep going.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, I don't think we have a pretty unique experience going to First Friday every month. And
yeah.
No, it's good. And that's well, I think that plays into, I mean, the account and just like the different contributors. I think everybody has a different interpretation of what Explore Rochester means to them. And that's really what we try to showcase on the account. And so, going to First Fridays and being a patron of the arts and being able to check out these different galleries and spaces and artists, I think is actually like a really special opportunity that you have within Rochester. There is a lot of options for that. And it's really like cool to bring it all together with Roco because they've been the one that's really helped facilitate First Friday from the beginning. And so to have this exhibition that kind of wraps up the first 10 years of the Instagram account and puts it on the wall and is able to showcase, like, what, it's 502 different contributors, so that's 502 different perspectives. I think that's a really cool thing, and you can go into that space and see different photos on the wall and be like, oh yeah, I've been to that place, or mm-hmm. oh, I had no idea this is in Rochester. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Like, where's this waterfall, you know? So that's a whole thing. So I think that's part of the magic of Explore Rochester, is it's open to interpretation.
That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved how, being a contributor myself, I had no idea which photo you chose. So yeah. What was the process of picking those photos? Because that, I found that to be a really unique experience. Because again, like you said, 500 something images, contributors, you know, and then all coalescing in this space and all having this like surprise and delight at, oh, that's the one that they chose. Or maybe different feelings, I don't know. But how did you guys choose those photos?
Yeah, I mean, it was a long organizational process, because like every project that you start and don't realize how long it's going to go for, there's no organization.
Right.
So we started by just bringing everything together, which was a really fun exercise in and of itself, because it's been a long time since we've looked at some of those photos that were shared 9 years ago, eight, seven, six. So we brought everything together. And then the curatorial aspect of it was really about making sure that we were staying true to the moment in time that those photos were captured. There's a lot of businesses that are in the gallery that don't exist anymore or have changed locations. There's people that have moved away or, you know, moved on with their lives, in whatever way it may be. So we wanted to make sure that we were respectful of that in documenting it, so that when we look at this grouping of images from 30,000 feet up, we're really seeing truly orchestrated views of the city.
And I'll add to that, is in the exhibition you don't get, so one of the things with the Instagram account is you get a photo paired with writing, and to me that's one of the really important things. The photo is there to kind of be that thing that draws your attention in, or a connecting point, but then when you start reading what the contributors have to say, that's when you really start to be like, oh yeah, that means something to me as well, or I've had a similar experience, or oh, I've never experienced it that way, even though that's something I've seen for my whole life, perhaps.
Yeah.
And so within the space and the exhibition, the physical thing, we don't have captions up there. So it would have been very difficult to try to have captions for each photo.
Right. Especially since they're all different lengths.
Yes. Yes. And so, but when we were doing the curation process, I think that was something where when we remembered or saw things that, oh yeah, I remember this contributor wrote something about this, or this meant something extra to them, or just anything along those lines, when we were able to remember those kind of things, I think that helped us in our decision of which photos to choose from different contributors too. So so that's like one of the cool behind the scenes things. And honestly, we didn't initially think that it was going to be as, I guess, special, like holding back from the contributors and not telling them which photo we selected. That was just like, oh, a logistics problem in a way.
Right. Yeah.
But then as we started getting closer and closer to the opening, that was one of the things that a lot of people asked, and we were like, no, actually we don't want to tell you, because there's an opportunity for us. When we walked into the space the first time before the opening and just saw photos started to be on the wall, you start to like, oh yeah, like I remember this, or I remember that, or different things. So I wanted all the contributors as well to be able to have an experience like that, where you can go in and first you have to find your photo out of 502, and then once you see it, it's like, oh yeah, that was this, you know. And so that was something that was kind of unintentional, but has become one of my favorite things to hear from all the different contributors too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really smart, actually, though, even if it, you know, took a process to get there organizationally, it was really smart that you had like a wayfinding system when you came in. Because when I first walked in, I was like, oh, fuck, how am I going to find my photo? And there's so many humans. And then I saw, oh, they're grouped by years. Yeah, and then I can tell which my name is literally on it. That was really smart.
Yeah, that's when you work with somebody like Blue and the team at Roco, that was them. You know, they knew that they were seeing things that we weren't seeing. We were so caught up in getting things together. And they were like, you need this and you need this and you don't need that because nobody's going to see it. So they put that guide together. And just throughout the whole process, they were so helpful with telling us what we didn't know. I think, like you said, you all go to First Fridays and things like that. We've all go to different art galleries and stuff. And you don't realize the things that are designed that you just use and you take for granted. And you're not thinking about that when you're putting something together because you're used to it just being there. They provided a lot of that stuff for us and kind of held our hand along the way.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's also, like, I'm glad you mentioned the not just what should be there, but what shouldn't be there. Totally. That's kind of that note of expertise.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole, like, people want, you can always ask, say, oh, you should have this, you should have this, you should have this.
Yeah.
But knowing when to say no, not that thing, or this technique isn't going to work for this kind of big group.
That
kind of experience is very special.
Yeah, I'll build off that quick. We did a year one gallery back in 2016, which was after the first year of Explore Rochester. There was 52 contributors the first year because we were like, let's fill every single week. Now we only do 50 per year just because that gives us a little bit of breathing room. Early on, we started, because the account was so new and we had like no followers when we first started, we wanted to bring attention to the early contributors too. So we would do these twice a year. In those other weeks, we would kind of bunch five contributors together and allow them to kind of bring back something or reintroduce themselves. That's what we called it. So we did that for like 6 or 7 years after year one. But going back to my main point, 52. So the first year we did an in-person gallery at Makers Gallery and Studio, which no longer exists as well. But that was something where we didn't think 52 photos of Rochester would be enough to like fill the space. And so we had contributors then submit other artwork or photos, whatever they wanted to be involved in that gallery, which was really fun. But then if we try to do that model again for this for 10 years.
Warehouse.
Yeah, exactly. And so Blue was really good at helping us kind of pare down. And that was something like we had when we were early on starting to think of like, what do we want this to look like? It was like, oh, could we have somebody contribute something new and we include an old photo? But honestly, at this point, the simpler, the better in the sense that it's really special just being able to go into that space now at Roco and see walls of photos, and you really can start to see the progress or the progression, I guess, not progress as much, of just the progression of like change and and what has remained the same, but what has changed in Rochester over those 10 years, and what's changed in social media over those 10 years, or in how we take photos or all that kind of thing. And so it's actually really special to keep it simpler. And there was like a little bit of added stuff when we added audio, thanks to Chris. Like, I think that's a really special thing. We created this visual archive of photos using the walls, but then having the audio where contributors on opening night were able to talk about their photo that was selected, talk about Rochester, talk about themselves. Having that paired in the space is like a really special experience. If you haven't experienced that yourself, go there before it closes.
Did you guys come up with the question? Who came up with the questions? Because that was really brilliant.
Blue and maybe yourself together.
Yeah. So, and I think that's, I want to talk about, because that experience was like really was really special.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, and usually I would ask, you know, different questions. I would cater it differently. Yeah. I would do that. But the purity of asking those questions every time. Yeah. And if you put the headphones on and you can just look out in the room and you hear, you can hear the room get louder and quieter.
Totally. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my first thought was, oh, can I get it where it's dead quiet? I'm like, no, like they should be able to sit in a room with nobody in it and feel the energy of that first night, because it was so much.
Yeah.
It was a lot. In the best possible way, because this brought so many people through, and the fact that we did 54 small interviews the course of the evening was Like, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
You kept going.
But each one, right? Each one brings that little energy, that pop of, oh, I was so excited to participate. I was excited to be here tonight because it felt like we're participating in what this gallery is going to be.
Yeah.
So it's the opening, but the opening is not the finish.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not a one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so enjoyable. Speaking of which, I think the first episode podcast version will be out tomorrow from our recording day.
Great.
But I think that'll be out on April 6th. So we'll have the first one, and then we'll have three parts of where everybody can listen to those offline too.
Yeah.
And it was great to participate on that front because it's something that's, you know, affected me, the way I do things, and being involved with you guys in Blue was, you know, just very refreshing to feel that positivity in the room that night. And then people that didn't know about stuff going on and all the different, you know, collaborative things that came just from that night. How special. That it's bringing all those disparate people together in one space, not just the Instagram space, but the in-person space.
Yeah. That's been at the core of what we've tried to accomplish with the account since day one is like, it's never been about contribute here so that you can get more Instagram followers. It was always, how do we use this digital medium to bring people out into the real world? How do we take this interaction offline? And seeing whether it's the gallery that started at Roco a month ago, or the Insta meets that we used to host early on, or the year one gallery, it was always about like, this is a great facilitator of connection. And then it's on us and the other members of the community to make that connection mean something more, whether it's supporting one of the businesses that you see on there or just connecting with one of those people. It's really been, and listening to your interviews with them brought back a lot of those memories. And also I was able to put the headphones on for the first time when we were there last night and listen through. And it was awesome because, you know, I didn't sit there for, there's probably what, 200 minutes of audio. I don't know how much audio was there.
Yeah. So. I think it was close to 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I think it was somewhere in the range of like 140 minutes over like 3 hours and change.
So I look at that in the same way that I've been to the gallery like 5-6 times now. And every time I notice something different.
Yeah.
And I think that that audio component is another elaboration on that. And that I'm going to throw those headphones on for 10 minutes. And the next time I'm there, I'm going to throw them on for 10 minutes. And I don't know where I'm going to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's reflective of the platform as a whole. It's reflective of what social media is. It's this, let me just open it on any given moment and be a part of what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I can't control what's there when I open it.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a fun thing to do.
And the follow up already, like I've had the chance to now talk to people from there that I didn't know.
Mm.
Right. I talked to a farmer from Growing Family Farms. I'm, you know, I've got a meeting with somebody coming up from that.
Cool.
And awesome. You know, what a delight. And now I've had like multiple podcasts scheduled from that and either people I knew and I don't see that much.
Yeah.
I was talking with Matt from Transit Apparel.
Yeah.
Like I've known him for years, but you know, sometimes you forget to reach out to people that.
Yep.
And those kind of moments are special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would echo that too. Like being a contributor and being there that first night, that was what the special part of it was. The secret sauce, if you will, was like everyone coming together and being in the same room because it was packed, but it was like packed with energy and people like talking to each other and connecting and collaborating and like an emotion too. Like seeing the photo that you guys chose from my set was emotional because you picked a picture of my kid.
Yeah. And it was like, at the beach, right?
Yeah. And she's not that age anymore, you know? Yeah. So it's like you said, capturing moments in time that are not the moment anymore, but then we're able to connect again over that. Yeah. So are there any contributor stories or things that you guys were talking all night too?
Yeah.
So were there any things that were cool or surprising or like particularly heartwarming that came up?
Well, I'll say the cool thing too is, I mean, there was over 500 people there for the opening night, which was amazing. And the cool thing is I feel like I know a lot of people in Rochester, but there was a lot of people I met for the first time there and a lot of contributors I met in person for the first time there, which is really special. Like, I think that's something that with the account, it's like not based on just us knowing different people. It's kind of like it's grown as like this referral thing too, or just like when we see somebody share about something or a new business or just different things like that, we'll try to reach out or find a connection. So it's been cool to like make those in-person connections, and similar to what Chris said too, is just like, yeah, you get connections off of that, and then that leads to something else and leads to something else. And I saw people talking that night that I knew each other, but they probably hadn't seen each other in a while. And I think 2020 really kind of like sent people in a lot of different directions. And so we're still kind of picking up the pieces from that. And so it's cool to see and have those kind of events where people can come together. And that's, like Justin said before, that's something that we've always wanted with Explore Rochester.
I was there last night, and there was a nice young lady that was looking around, and she came over and asked Steve and I a couple of questions, and she was like asking about the account. She didn't know what it was. She just, you know, it was First Friday, so she went to Roco.
Right.
And she's like, there's a photo of one of my friends on the wall.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's like, can I take a picture of it?
Yeah.
No. of course.
Absolutely not.
But it was such a cool little...
This came from the internet. Yeah, you want to put it back on the internet?
Exactly. You've got to print it out afterwards. But it was so cool to be like somebody that has no understanding, no direct connection to what Explore Rochester is. But by entering that space, it meant something to them immediately, because it is a reflection of the people that make this city what it is. So I think that there was 502 instances where it was like, that's not that anymore. You know, that my kid has grown up, the business is closed, they've moved into a different space, whatever. Steve and I have never contributed on the account.
Yeah.
We don't plan to. But each post that's on there, I have a direct memory of. It's, you know, we were talking to Danielle Ramo last night. She was a part of the panel that we did with David Grohm and Blue. From Roco, and I was talking about her photo, and it was near a place that she used to live. It was out of her old window, but we had worked on a project together, and so I had a specific memory of that space and what it meant to me, and it meant something different to her, but it was all the same thing. And I think that's what the account does so well, the people that contribute to it do so well, is they showcase that one space can mean a billion different things to the billion different people in this city. And whether they all have that same emotional reaction, or they just used to get breakfast sandwiches there, or they used to shop there, or one of their first dates was there, every space carries such a personal connection. So there was 502 instances of that on that night for me, and I'm sure for others even more. So
that's incredible. And I am also curious about more of the backstory with Explore Rochester and like the process that has evolved to where it is now. So we'll get into that after we take a quick break.
Cool.
Welcome to the world of Punches and Popcorn, where we dive into the bone-breaking and kung-fu-kicking world of martial arts cinema. Join us on The Path as we explore a new movie every episode, discussing the history, fighting styles, science, and more from a broad range of fight films. Everything from Bruce Lee to Jean-Claude Van Damme to John Wick. There's plenty of room in our temple of couch potato style. So listen in and subscribe to Punches and Popcorn on your favorite podcast app.
And we're back after a silly little ad break. Maybe you'll see the video. Maybe you won't. Don't worry about it.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It is
That's
all fine.
That's what they always tell us. Oh, no.
Hopefully you purchased whatever was in the ads, because that's just that's part of the game. We're all in this, so buy things. I don't know.
Sure.
And in direct response to that, not buying things. I don't know. Explore Rochester. I appreciate
good segue.
I have nothing today. I'm very distracted by the conversation that just occurred.
That's true.
Off the microphones. But anyway,
it involved pants and no pants.
What?
Yes.
Just for
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
That was your any experiencing that. Now we're back.
Oh, we're back on a separate. You want to make the whole second half be about severance, because Justin and I have a lot to say.
We totally could. No. However we can weave it in, we're going to weave it in. Okay.
I'm all for madness. Bring the madness.
Uh-huh. I am wondering about the inception of Explore Rochester and how you guys started. Like, what was the initial idea germ of an idea?
I'll preface it with it being mysterious and important.
Yes, the work is mysterious and important.
Okay, no.
That's all you have to say. We're done. Good
podcast. cool. Yeah, no, Explore Rochester. It really started as a hashtag, which kind of naturally progressed to that point. I mean, Instagram was very new around that time. I think the hashtag may have started actually in like 2014, 2013. I could check on Instagram. There's a way to find it really easily, but I'm not going to do that right now.
Yeah, this is a podcast. You just guess.
Yeah, let's just guess. Let's throw out things. What's truth anyways? Yeah. No, this is important.
Points so, to camera.
Yeah, I pointed to camera. If you didn't see that, I pointed. it was really just, I mean, Instagram was new. That it's what got me into photography really is Instagram. And it also got me into just like coming to the city and exploring downtown. I mean, I would go with friends to the river, the waterfalls, like Lower Falls, the abandoned subway, just walking around downtown, going to Java's, going to Christchurch for comp line, and just like experiencing the city in different ways. And I'm not from here originally, and so it was all new to me. And I think as I started to get to know Rochester more and more, I got more interested in taking photos of things and trying to explore more in different places. And so back when the hashtag started, it was really just because me and two other friends went and took photos around the abandoned subway. And I was like, oh, it could be cool if we all share our photos from this experience to one hashtag so that we could tell our friends to all go look at that, and you could see all of our photos from this. And that was kind of how it all started, because back then on Instagram, there wasn't Instagram stories. So it's not like you can like reshare your friend's post to your story and be like, hey, check it out there. It's like, how do you get somebody to go check out these different photographs? And so that was the way. And so it started. Oh,
whoa.
Oh.
History. January 2021. Factual alert. Factual alert.
Wait, what was January 2020?
Sorry, January 2011.
What? 2011.
I was like, what?
Corrected factual alert.
That was the first hashtag Explore Rochester. Yeah, wow, it was 2011.
No, just general. Hashtags on Instagram started in 2011.
Oh, shit.
They actually didn't exist before that on Instagram.
Yeah.
So they had, you know, Instagram existed, but they didn't start using hashtags officially until January 2011.
Well, if you type in hashtag Explore Rochester first post, there will be two posts. No, actually three now, because one is me telling people to go see that. So, oops, that accidentally made that connected to it. The other is the first ever post on the Instagram account, Explore Rochester. But the other one, which is the worst of the three posts in terms of the use of color and filters and composition.
You know, those filters are also of a time period, though, right? Yes. Like, I see a square Instagram photo with that filter, and I'm like, I can feel it. I can smell it. I know what was happening during that time.
Those are our versions of Polaroid photos.
Right? Yeah. Well, yeah, for me. That's
what it was, right?
Yeah. No, and that's... Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so this was March 2nd, 2012. So that was the first ever... photo posted on Instagram with the hashtag Explore Rochester.
And factual alert.
Thank you for that.
2012.
And so from that point, I kept, every time I would share photos, I would use hashtag Explore Rochester around Rochester. And other friends started using it more and more, more than just the two friends that went with me that day. And so it started spreading kind of organically. And it would be a joke to some people too. They'd be like, oh, look at me. I'm like Steve. I'm doing hashtag Explore Rochester. Because really, there wasn't a lot of people on Instagram at that point. And so it was kind of like, oh, when you got Instagram, I got it because I wanted to do hashtag Explore Rochester. Like, there's people that would do that. So it grew very organically early on. And most of those early on photos were really cool because it was actually like going around and checking out Rochester. Now, if you go to hashtag Explore Rochester, there's a lot of cats. Which is cool, but
it's worth exploring.
Yeah,
cats are taking over.
Yeah, no, but there's like a lot of just advertisements and other things like that. So, but there's a lot of.
I can't believe those cats are advertising so much.
Not again.
Can't they like stay in their lane? Be cute.
Look, inflation, meow mix is real pricey.
True.
Follow some lasers catnip. Around. Yeah. Jump badly. Don't just advertise to us. Stupid cats.
Not a cat
Get
person,
out of
huh?
Here.
No. But now we're at on that hashtag, it's at 242,000. So that's really grown over the time. Again, lots of cats on it. But lots of photos of Rochester during that time, too. So,
I just think the cats are hopping on the Explore Rochester hashtag for like propaganda.
Yeah, it is.
I think they're just trying to push their, you know, their water off the ledge agenda.
Yeah, the agenda is serious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a problem.
A lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
no fact check.
Yeah, no fact check? Oh, okay.
No fact check on that one, surprisingly.
It's true.
Facts is facts.
Cats don't believe fact in fact checks.
Fact checks will only come up when you're least expecting them and never when you're most expecting them.
Wow. So from the going back on track, no more cats. So that's the hashtag was kind of the first thing. So that was in 2012 and onward.
Mm-hmm.
And so during that time, there was just more opportunities when I would go out and take photos of things. I would do so with other friends that were also interested in that. And that just kept growing. And we started doing what we would call like Rockstameets is what we called them. Because back then, Instagram had something called Instameets. So we were like, let's just add rock to the front of it and make it our own. That predates the rock, the craze. Actually, no, that rock, the craze has probably been there forever.
It's just so easy.
It's
yes.
easy.
You know,
yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah. So we started doing these meetups. Justin, actually, you came out to one of them early on.
Yeah, midway through.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, midway through.
Pretty fitting.
But that might have been one of the first times like I kind of met you.
Yeah, probably.
But like didn't really, I don't think we talked that much.
Just like social security number, no credit card
information. Yeah, exactly.
Just the basics.
Yeah.
Intro.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's just like I started to meet more and more people in Rochester, and those would grow. I mean, you would get like 30, 40 people at those. And that was just like being posted on my account, or like other people would word of mouth text friends and be like, mm-hmm. hey, we should all go and take photos of this place, or let's go hike down to Lower Falls or something like that. So it just kept spreading a little bit organically. And at a certain point, as the hashtag started growing, I was like, oh, I should do something with this name. So I like reserved the account at Explore Rochester with the intention of like making something happen with it. But I was like, I don't know what that should be. And I kind of struggled with trying to figure out what that should be for a couple years, and just kind of sat on like knowing that I wanted to do something that could bring the community together, but not knowing what that would be. And then through just like conversations, I feel like I just like kind of hit the eureka moment a little bit with it, of just like, oh, there's a way to like connect people and awareness of just your neighbors, like the people around you, and just like give them controls to an account for a week and just like let them share about Rochester from their perspective. And so pretty much from day one, it's been that, and the model has really stayed the same. And I reached out to a mutual friend of Justin and mine like right when I came up with the concept, but I'm like, I think I need a logo for this. And he's like, oh yeah, I could work on this with you, but can I bring my friend Justin? And so that's really how we all connected. But mm-hmm. the account launched on January 1st, 2015. And that was just a post announcing that this account was going to exist. And then a few days later is when the first contributor started. And from that day, it's just been every week a new contributor since then. So
yeah.
So that's kind of the long history to it. But yeah, Justin got involved pretty early on. And I mean, you could kind of speak
more
to
that.
Yeah,
what was your experience with that? Like from your perspective coming in?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came in really just for graphic,
mm-hmm.
you know, support. Our good friend Joe, who brought me into the project. We were both students of the same class at MCC. Nice. And became friends. I worked on the branding for the account and then just kind of helped going forward. So Steve would have a great idea about what to do on the account, and I would be able to just like throw graphics at it or try and be creative with it or whatever it may be. And then we ended up becoming like kind of increasingly more collaborative with it. And Steve kind of was full steam ahead for the last 10 years while I was afforded the opportunity to take steps back here and there. I would be lying if I said I've been as involved as Steve has over the last 10, bringing it to where it is right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, kind of there to bounce ideas off of throughout the entire process and just assist in whatever way that I can.
Yeah, Justin's been key. Collaboration, yeah, right? Yeah.
And that's that consistency of having a collaborator all the way through has been really helpful for me, because I know for me personally, like, I enjoy doing things with others. And I'm sometimes not that self-motivated, but if I can like get in with somebody else and work together on somebody with somebody else on something, that gets me like really motivated to like keep the momentum going and try to build something. So yeah, Justin, I mean, started out just doing design. Joe, our friend, had to like take a step back pretty early on. In year one, he was just like, hey, like, I have a lot going on. I think he got a new job or something like that. So he was just like, I can't be as involved. Mm-hmm. But like Justin, I mean, within the first 2 years, I mean, we did like talks at like conferences or like little pop-up events, mm-hmm. where they would ask us to like talk about this new account, or we did the year one gallery during the second year. And so like all these things, Justin's been a key collaborator in that. And he helped like really, I would like kind of curate like who would contribute working with Justin on it. But Justin would help schedule it out and make that happen for like the first 6 years, I would say, or so. So yeah, no, but like that was like kind of, we had a system that mm-hmm. really helped. Having a system really helped keep this going.
Yeah.
Because that and the intern, right?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We don't like to talk about this.
Yeah, we're not.
They don't like to be recognized. I understand.
Yeah. It's more so just from like a podcast perspective. Like, yeah. It's like that when we mention them,
it's like we signed an NDA, but like not. It's like we just are not allowed to talk about the intern too much.
Yeah.
That totally tracks.
Yeah.
So how has your collaborative?
Thank you.
I respect the intern's privacy. Thank you. And we like to
keep it internal.
Right. We will keep it internal.
Oh, wow. That was good. Okay.
So probably.
I assume we're talking about a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to cats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's always something.
I'm just trying to follow. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
But your creative process together, does that feel like it's evolved over time?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've gotten to understand how each other works, and like just when we're spitting ideas back to each other, you can like trust the other person has the best intentions for it, as well as just like is trying to make it better, or you can like, there's been times where I'm like, hey, can you make something, and I don't even like say like it should look like this or that, and you would just like make something, I'm like, perfect, let's roll with that, or other way around. And so I think that has come with time, in understanding that. And it's cool because since we first met and started working on Explore Rochester, we've worked on a lot of other projects outside of Explore Rochester too.
Right.
And our network of just like projects that we work on or overlap on has just kind of grown over time too, mm-hmm. which is really fun.
That's rad. Do you guys have projects in process now or things in the future that you're considering, excited about?
Not directly, not at this point, but I mean, like, as an example, like Upstate Social Sessions was something that it was a social media conference that lasted for 5 years here in Rochester. And social media was like, again, when Explore Rochester started, Instagram was really new and a lot of businesses weren't on Instagram early on. They were mostly on Facebook. And mm-hmm. so over time, more and more businesses were like, oh, we need to be on Instagram. How do we like run an Instagram? What should that look like? And so the conference, Upstate Social, was like really an opportunity for businesses and just people to like understand the changing landscape of social media and like how you can best practices from experts. We brought in experts from around the country to mm-hmm. like talk on it. Mm-hmm. And so when
those were rad sessions, I was there for a few of them.
It was great. Yeah. It was awesome. Danielle Ramo, who was on the panel last night, was the co-founder with Leah Stacey, who mm-hmm. Is the editor in chief of City Magazine now. City Magazine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said it right. Sorry, Leah, if I didn't.
Yep, you did. No fact check there.
So the two of them kind of came up with the idea, brought me in really early on, and I was like, when it comes to design, let's bring in Justin. And I don't think you really knew them at that time.
No.
Yeah. And now Justin has worked with both of them on projects for years since then. And so that's kind of just shown that. I mean, I know, like, from Upstate Social, you connected with people that you ended up getting a job because of.
Yeah, totally.
Same for me. Like, I got a job through connections and through collaboration there. And so it was just like a lot of just how those things kind of wind. When you look back, you're like, oh, that's how I got here, is like this and this and this. And it's really cool in that way. I'm really thankful for it too.
So this is, it's a really interesting time, you know, because I talked to you guys ahead of the event while you were still laying things out. Yeah. And now we're a month in from having it, you know, having the gallery open, just doing a panel last night. And this is, you know, this is one of those like moments to look back on a whole experience. But that month, like, how has that month been different than what you expected it to be? Because it is a big chance to think about the stuff, but it's also like all that feedback, all everything else, and then experiencing being there for the opening. Like, what has this month been like?
I guess for me, it's just like going there for the open. Well, let's say going there when it was still being put up, you like started to like reminisce or be nostalgic about like different photos or different things that were on the wall, and just, and seeing how it's all laid out was like really, a nice like feeling, and just like, whoa, wow, I can't believe this is real and in person. And so that was really cool. But then the opening night was like really about the people, and we talked about that earlier in the show too. But like, yeah, just having the opportunity for them to record audio and just seeing people gathered together and have conversations together and just be in that space was really a amazing feeling. And then going back like the next day, I think I went back, and there were still people in the space, but it was like a lot quieter. Mm-hmm. And just being able to take everything in after knowing like, hey, this happened the night before, and just being able to walk around and like you have the space kind of to yourself, or you see somebody else like connecting with different aspects. I think that was really cool. And then I've also, like Justin, have gone back many times since, and it's been cool to like walk in and see somebody like scrolling the phone and like seeing there's a phone installed in the space, if you didn't realize, that has like your 11 contributors on it, as a way to just like, oh yeah, this is it's still going. And so seeing how people interact with that, seeing people listen to the audio now that that's installed in the space, I think it's just, it's really cool to just see how different people interact with it. And one of the things, this, this whole, like exhibition, putting it together and like being on this podcast and being on other podcasts or talking in different areas has really put Justin and I more front and center. But over the course of the account's history, we've really tried to stay in the background as much as possible and make it about the platform itself and make it about the people that are on the platform. So we focus on building a platform that then all these contributors can share on. And so it's been a little different for us these last like 2 months, where people have seen us more and more, so they'll come up and like say something. In the past, I feel like, and I could still kind of walk through the space different times, and people don't know that like I'm associated with it. And so it's cool to hear what they say or whatnot, or how they interact. And I think that's something I enjoy. Not just like being like, oh yeah, like I curated this or something like that. It's just like, oh no, this is like, I want to see how you appreciate the space or engage with the space. And so that's been really cool. And I want that to continue.
Are you okay with all the positivity, Justin?
I found a way through it.
Yeah. It can be a lot. And I know I struggle with that sometimes when, if people are saying good things about the stuff that I do, when sometimes the work is what you're comfortable with.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's really, much like Steve said, it's really never been so much about like what we do, so to speak. It's a different person every week that made this what it is and made this gallery happen. You know, we've been really lucky to play a part in that and to serve as a facilitator in some capacity, but You know, I come from a design background. That's what I do on a day-to-day basis. And they always say that, like, good design is stuff that you don't notice and works well. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of Steve and I as designers here, mm-hmm. In that, like, we're doing our best to do a good job, but you shouldn't notice us. We're really right. just, like, serving as the microphone.
Yeah. Well, and I will give you your flowers and say, like, whether you're comfortable with it or not, you guys are doing a kick-ass job.
Thank you.
And, like, yeah, as designers, as facilitators, that's, like, such a – it is artful because then people come into the space, whether it's the digital space or the in-person space, and the engine of connection that it's created is, like, incredible. So I'm curious if there's plans for the future. Like, what's Explore Rochester doing next with, you know, Instagram so different than it was in the beginning? Like, how's that soup feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean,
gazpacho.
Yeah.
Gazpacho. I mean, I know, and this is kind of giving a preview, but I know we would like to do like an in-person like meetup again before the end of the exhibition, of just like going on a photo walk downtown, whoever wants to go. So we're really waiting on the weather to cooperate before we announce anything for that.
Another Rochester staple.
Yes. Yes.
Rock the weather plan.
So, I personally would like more cat content.
We're working on
it. I don't know if that's something.
Just look at the hashtag, man. There are cats everywhere.
Seriously. Okay. All right.
Explore capital CAT.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, we're done. All right.
Yes, the torch has been passed.
But yeah, I mean, when it comes to Instagram as a whole and like Explore Rochester, how it lives in the digital space, I think that's in a lot of ways really dependent on Instagram and its platform and how that continues to evolve and change, and not necessarily for the better. And so, as long as we can continue to share the different contributors, and it still be square and it still be photos and doesn't require us to have all the photos in one post or something like that, then we're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. We already have like the next few months already scheduled on Explore Rochester. So it's just like, there's contributors coming down mm-hmm. It's just going to keep happening, you know? And so that's the whole thing. And then I would also say one of the things, future of Explore Rochester, one of the things that we launched as part of this whole exhibition is something we call the Explore Rochester Community Fund. And that's been really how it works is just with the space and with the photos in the space, they're all for sale. It's $40 a photo for the print. 75% of that goes to the community fund and 25% goes to ROCO to help support future exhibitions and the work that they do. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to accomplish with the community fund is our goal is to raise $5,000 to be able to put that towards the future of photographers and contributors in Rochester, really looking at the youth in Rochester, in the city specifically, and trying to support programs or workshops, classes, or even resources to help them create more photos and learn about photography so that they can then someday hopefully contribute if Explore Rochester continues to exist into the well into the future. So that's a cool, like, trying to use this moment in time as like a opportunity for some impact within the city too. So that's something that's cool.
Incredible. So where can folks find you if it wasn't already obvious?
Yeah, I mean, at Explore Rochester on Instagram is our Instagram account. That's really the hub of everything. But we also have a website, explorerochester.us. There's not really a lot on there at the moment. I think we should probably put up something about the exhibition on there and the community fund. But time is difficult sometimes. So need to do that, perhaps. And then, but that is also where you can submit to be a contributor if you're interested, or you can send us a DM on Instagram too.
And then you can find us via the show at Rochester Contemporary Arts Center. It is up there through May 10th. Mm-hmm. And we have one more first Friday before the end of that. So that'll be May, is it May 3rd? Or May, I think it's
May 3rd.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Is he going to push the button? Oh, I thought you were going to be a fact check.
He's got a lot of buttons.
I have to hear the date first.
Yeah, he's got,
It's May 2nd. No, it is May 2nd.
May 2nd.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's
there
the thing.
Thank you. May 2nd. Yeah. And that'll be just a little closing reception fundraiser for the community fund.
Yeah.
And yeah, Roco is open.
Oh yeah, they're open Wednesday through Sunday, 9 to 5. Or no, wow, 9. Why am I throwing 9? I think I said 9 recently. No, let's start that over. Roco is open Wednesday through Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. Except on Fridays when they're open from 12 to 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It was a great chat.
Thank you all.
Thank you for having us.
I think everyone at home should know that this episode is sponsored by Meow Mix.
Please
meow, 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 meow.
Was that the Explore Rochester theme song?
I think what Christian
conditions?
Yes.
And I think what
it was approved by the intern.
Yeah. And I think what Christian is saying that. You should go to lunchdoor.org to check out all the shows on the Lunchdoor Podcast Network, including our new shows from The Sound, Nights and Weekends. We have a new show from Rory Van Grohl and Greg Benoit talking about their life in hardcore and how it's affected them as adults.
Meow, meow.
Really cool stuff coming up. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next time with more
Behind the Studio Door.
Meow.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchdoor Podcast Network.
Year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Year 7, year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Year 11, 12?